Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Enlightened Podcast. My name is Jen.
And my name is Danielle.
And we're here to discuss Season 2, Episode 2, Woo! Which is entitled Revenge Play. Mm. That's what they tell me. All right, that's what the voices are telling me today. So, what did you think of this episode? We'll start with the overall opinion, I guess.
I liked it a lot, actually. Because as you know, I didn't really, really enjoy the first episode when I watched this mm-hmm. one. It definitely got me back into this season, and yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know you get something out of it when you watch it the first time, but then whenever you go to watch it for this and really pick it apart and notice, you notice so much yeah. stuff that you didn't, and connecting things. Like, I didn't even really... I mean, I got the gist of the overall theme, I guess, the first time I watched it. But this time, I'm like, whoa, every single thing places together and connects, yes. and it makes sense. And there's a lesson, and Amy learned so much. And I'm like, whoa, this is awesome. Right off the get-go, you have the first meaningful couple lines about how everything's so much bigger than yourself, and you can reflect your whole life away trying to understand it. And then you're left with nothing. So it's kind of... saying that you have your own little bubble of things, and it's best to just react to your own little bubble and not try to save the entire world.
Yes.
So Amy's just trying to save her little bubble problem, which is the company.
That's interesting, actually, you just said that, because I have a book, I haven't read it yet, but it's called The World Isn't Yours to Save, and that would actually mm-hmm. fit with this. Wow.
Yeah, it does. Wow. Book of yeah. the week, or month.
Yeah, month. Yeah, couple a couple months.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that long wait, yeah. by the way. You couple people eagerly wait.
We love
podcast.
You.
Apology.
Apologies. Yeah, apologies.
We'll get it done, yes. I promise. But, and then she says, it's not enough to have good intentions, you must act on them. And that's huge, huge theme throughout. And then she brings that up again at the end. And the, what's it, ring composition, as you said before, yes. that is perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Perfectly fulfilling. Because she starts with this and just... keeps going.
Indeed.
It's amazing. It was. Yeah. So, like we said, yeah, not to get overwhelmed by the big picture of things, just look at what you could do in the scope of your own little reality. So that's a nice little intro to what we're about to see.
Yes. Well, actually, since I don't know if that foreshadows the rest of the season or not, does it? Like,
I have bits and pieces here that start the ball rolling on it. Little bits, little things here and there that when we get to them, I'll be like, there's one of them that really starts to bring up things and shifts your mind certain ways so subtly but so perfectly. And it just like plants the seed of an idea and then it takes it away and distracts you with something else really quick. But it plants the seed of things to come. So it does do that. And the later on when she brings up the intentions, it kind of brings that up again in the finale. So it really encompasses everything. It's just a complete puzzle. It's a complete complex puzzle. Ooh. That's what this show is. That's how I would yeah. describe it. It's perfect.
Indeed it is.
Yeah. So then she's with Tyler, and I find it interesting that he is so limited, I think, and like narrow-minded in my opinion, that he actually accuses Amy of doing all this to counteract her terrible
yes.
life. And I kind of felt offended when he said mm-hmm. that, and because I'm like, no, it's so, Amy sees so far beyond the scope of those four walls that he kind of lives
right.
in, and the audience does too, because they're seeing it through her eyes. And so when he says something like that, like, oh, you're just doing it to offset your terrible life, you kind of feel offended by it as well, I think.
Well, I was just going to say, it hits home because, you know, we can all kind of think of a time when we've been doing something and somebody has said the same thing to us. And I feel like, I mean, I was kind of offended too. I was like, are you serious, mm-hmm. Tyler? Like, don't be one of those people.
Exactly. He's just in his little box of four walls and he can't see everything that Amy and the audience
right.
can see. Like, he totally just writes off her motivation as a way to compensate for her issues. And it's, like, makes you feel insulting and small because Amy knows, and we know that it's so much bigger than that, and we see this huge scope of horizon, and he's just like, oh, well, here's your reason. You're just blah, blah, blah in his little
Yeah,
box. And
exactly. Very
it's
narrow-minded. And
right away, you can really tell them starting off on totally different tracks in the beginning of the scene. Because sometimes, I mean, he kind of follows along with her and humors or whatever goes along with it. But here, you could tell they're already splitting apart, and his ideas and his aspect are way different than you even thought. And she's already going the other way. And then that really happens towards
Oh
the end.
yeah. I was just gonna say it's really smart writing, 'cause a lot of TV shows or even like just stories in general will show two friends just going along with each other's ideas without a question, where this really paints each character as their own individual and doesn't make it simple. It's they're very complex and they have their reasons, and they're not contrived reasons, they're actual reasons.
Yes. And as, especially in this one, is what makes that so unique because eventually, as we get to the end here, Tyler, sorry, how am I gonna word this? Exactly what you were saying, he kind of goes along with her, but in a total different way than she'd want him to.
Yes.
Like, he's trying to get it and trying to act like he gets it and understands it, but it's so different than her. So even then, they're on different tracks. Even if he's still trying to parallel her track, it's still different. He's still taking it a totally different
Yeah.
way than what she would. And I think that's just so amazing. That's poetically
Yeah,
amazing that
yeah.
because he's been such a follower, and when he goes to take the lead for once and tries to do what she's doing, his instincts are so different, and that just shows the personality difference and what she her motives really are and how human his flaws are, but yet her motives are so, they say she's flawed, but her motives are still very positive and moral. It's just so
Yeah.
amazing. But I'll get to that more when we get to the end. And then she goes how she says, how she's been saying that she wants to be the spokesperson for the little guys, as she calls it. And she says the greatest power is goodness. And that's another theme, I think, is power, because they both get power in this episode and they both react to it differently,
Yeah.
which is very
Yeah, that's a good
interesting.
point.
And so right away, her line is the greatest power is goodness. She already wants to use her power for good. With no, she doesn't want to step on anybody. She doesn't have any other agendas to hurt anybody other than creating good from taking down the bad people. She doesn't want to hurt anyone along the way, which we'll see later on as
Yes.
well. But I love that right away, power and goodness is in the same line. Oh, and also here, it's kind of this segment, especially, is kind of reminded me of the finale a little bit. She has this really big, long, like, questioning herself monologue toward the end of the finale, or that's the end of the beginning, middle maybe. And it brings up almost everything kind of that she learned in this season, which is so smart to take little bits and pieces from it. And this is part of it.
Oh.
So it reminded me of that, her little questioning of, 'cause in here she's so sure that power is goodness and my intentions are good and all this. But then she goes to question it a little bit in the finale, which is so smart to come back to this.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I kind of want to just kind of binge watch the season, but at the same time I want to be surprised like each episode we record, so I'm torn between what I should do.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, you can even, after you go through and watch it, and if you start over again, which I'm doing by doing this podcast, I'm picking up on so many things. Things I didn't even notice the first time, things that are so
Right.
connected. And there's no loose ends. They don't leave any loose
Yeah.
ends, which is so smart. How many shows have a million loose ends and you're just like,
Yeah.
well, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly. And again, that goes back to the smart writing, because a lot of times you see lazy writing on TV. I mean, it's everywhere. The loose ends, things are inconsistent. This show is not that at all. It's
So complete.
exactly.
It's a complete complex puzzle. It's so smart and fulfilling. It's like they take all the little details and the time to put it and make it right. And it's not appreciated by many people, I guess,
I
but
still don't get that.
it's a good product. I know. I know, it's
Yeah.
hard. It's just, I don't know. I just
Yeah.
appreciate it.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
But so then she calls Jeff, who needed more information last episode, and she calls him and she's like, yeah, I'll get all your stuff. We'll get
Which
it.
is hilarious.
And
Like, just the way she calls
yeah,
him and, like, is whispering
I
like a
know.
spy.
I love that. I do. And I love how when she's leaving the message, she's all, "And I'm sure you're out enjoying the sun and writing amazing stories and being amazing." I'm like, "Oh, you're adorable." I'm like, you know, he's probably sitting, drinking a beer, and watching TV, but he's out enjoying the sun and making a difference. Oh, love it. Love it. So, her, Tyler, and Jeff all meet up, and he says that he needs certain stuff. And here's where it kind of hints to later on when he gives this ominous warning about potential fallout. And he's like, you realize this is really, really, really going to affect things and your life and other people's life, and it's going to shake up a lot. And he's like, are you prepared for that? And for the first time, Amy kind of had this look of uncertainty just for a second, and you kind of see her gears turning, and she's like, I totally am, or am I? I think so. I don't know. Like, you have this moment, and it's like she's been on this endless train of ideal excitement and power. She's just saying goodness with power and positivity. And then when she's on the precipice of it actually going into motion, you have that second of second guessing and questioning things. And that's so huge for the rest of the season. And it's just a split second. I love that. It's just for a split second, because right away, the very next scene is her bouncing back to that, I'm going to take over the company, her little dream. When she's like, yeah, I'm going to take it over. I'm going to do this. It's going to be awesome. Everyone's going to go to jail. So she goes right back into it. So it only plants the seed for a second to the audience. That little hesitation, you feel slight hesitation with her, and she feels kind of small for the first time, because she's always felt bigger than everything else. But for the first time, she kind of felt small, and this is for a millisecond, and then it goes into her huge dream. So I love the extremes. I love that for a second, you're pulled down, and then right away, you're in a huge extreme of her little dream of taking over and fixing and helping everything.
Yeah, and
Genius.
it is
Genius.
genius, and I think, well, one thing I just wanted to point out as well is when they're all talking, the three of them, I love that Tyler, like, he doesn't really say much. He's kind of in the middle, showing that he's the middleman, I'm guessing. I don't know how that plays out throughout the season, but that's the vibe I got.
I think that was setting up kind of towards what happened, what he does at the end, how he kind of takes, because he's been a follower this whole time and kind of indecisive about it, and then he just takes the reins, but the whole wrong way that Amy would.
I think I
But
need to watch the season. I need to just watch it, yeah.
But yeah, I think that was geniusly smart to put right after that little bit of uncertainty. They put you in Amy's ideal situation, and it kind of, it's reassuring the audience that she didn't lose her confidence and she's still on the mission. But here's this little seed of doubt for you to keep in the back of your brain. Smart,
Indeed,
smart.
that is smart. I will. Okay, I did write something down because I was wondering. We were talking about Amy's motivations, and I wonder just like the way Laura Dern plays Amy, if she subconsciously, might be a bit narcissistic. I'm wondering.
Probably.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Probably.
Because it just the way I was watching, I was like, interesting. Like watching her take down all these people and being like, yeah, that's right, guys. What up now? But, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I got a bit to that here and there as well. Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got for that part.
And then I like how in the next scene, Amy's sitting with her mom, and Tyler calls her, and she's like trying to hide the phone and talk into it. And her mom's like, "You're not doing anything funny, are you?" And she's like, "No, why would I do anything funny?" And she's like, "Okay." And then she like runs, and she's like, "Okay, Tyler, okay." That's just funny.
That was funny.
So he called, we found out he called because of the security department is just detecting suspicious activity. And Omar's also suspecting suspicious activity between those two. And then Dougie announces that the IT people are going to come and check all the computers. And they're all, no! And then all that's interrupted by randomly Krista being rushed to the hospital
That's
randomly.
right.
And I'll never understand why there's a fire truck.
Yeah, I don't understand
I
that either, but
don't know.
okay. Wait,
I don't know.
actually, before we move on, I just gotta say the albino comment that Omar makes is really funny. Like, he just keeps going on and on and on. It's like, or albinos in our country are white demons or whatever he says.
I know. He's like, they're killed as young children.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he's just going beating that dead
Yeah.
horse over and over.
And also when Dougie says, so if you have any porn, get rid of it. I'm talking to you,
He's like,
Connie.
I'm looking at you,
Yeah.
Connie.
That's so funny.
He's like, no, wait, I don't want to be offensive. No, it's not you. I'm not talking
Yeah.
to
Yeah, that was hilarious.
you. I know. I love him,
Yeah,
though.
me too.
He's so good. Oh, and then so Amy goes and visits. Oh, she goes to the hospital, and Janice is there with Krista's family and all that, and they won't let Amy back. And I just feel so bad
I
for Amy because
know.
she just wants to be good, and Janice tells her that only family can go back there, and Amy's all, but you're there.
Yeah.
And Krista's like, well, I'm her best friend, and Amy's like, well, I'm the reason you even know her. And I'm like, good, you say that. You have no filter. Because that's what anyone would want to say to that situation, but they
Right.
don't, because that's you don't. But I love that Amy
Yeah,
does.
she's standing
I
up for
love that.
herself because Janice's tone was so mean. Like, she's just like, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, Amy. Like, when Amy asked her a question. Like, it's so annoying.
I know. It's mean, and I feel bad for her. I really
Yeah.
do. And when she's all, you wouldn't even know her if it wasn't for me. I know a lot of people are like, really, you're gonna say that now? But I'm on Amy's side. Shocker.
Yeah.
That, yeah, it's true. I mean, in your mind, the normal person in their mind would be thinking that. They might not say that, but I love that Amy said
Right.
it. I love her no filter. I love her heart on her sleeve honesty. Love.
Yes.
Love a character
Me
like that.
too.
So she goes home all sad and stuff, and I love how she tells her mom that Chris is not her friend, and she's not in delusional. She's not like, oh, well, Krista wanted me there, Janice just didn't. She's not delusional or anything. She gets it. She's like, yeah, Krista doesn't want to be friends with me, and it's so much like it was so childlike. It reminded me of when I was 10 and I was
Yeah.
like having this problem with my friends or something. And I feel like as soon as Amy enters her mom's house, she is like 10, and her mom is her mom, and it's just like that
Right.
dynamic. And she does the thing that any mom would do, and she says, here, we'll give her this pillow. And Amy's like, it's not like that in my world. It doesn't work like that
Oh.
in this adult world and stuff, and that she lives in. And you know, you feel that because you know everything Amy goes through and how people hate her and think she's a joke and all that. And then her mom's like, well, here, give her a pillow. And Amy's like, no, doesn't work.
Nah.
It doesn't work that way. And I love that she understands and knows. I mean, that adds a lot to her character. She's not all delusional, like, yes, this will solve everything.
Right.
Or, I mean, she knows the levity of it.
Right.
That's
Yeah.
smart to write her like that, because it's such a fine line. They can write her, she can have so many mental
Yeah.
problems, or she could be so normal, or she could just be a normal person with high hopes, or just. There's so many fine lines that this character could be written on, but they pick all the right ones.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
And it's so smart. So the Amy goes to work next day, and she finds the tech guy at her desk, and she's freaking out, and Tyler's like, I got this. I
I
got
love his
this.
confidence.
I know. He finally takes the lead for something, and it just goes total opposite ways.
Yeah.
But I love his face. He's like, I got it, I got it. And she's like, do not be weird with me
Yeah,
right now.
that's great.
But and that's all we see about what he did. And then it goes to Amy actually going to visit Krista, and she does bring her the pillow, which is nice. And all she does is want to apologize for all the drama. She doesn't want to create it, she just wants to apologize. And Krista Carissa, whoa, Krista is just completely shuts her down, yeah. and she's like, I don't want the stress, and yeah. I'm like, she's not causing you stress.
Seriously.
She's giving you a pillow and saying she's sorry for the drama, that's not stress.
Yeah, Krista's bringing all the stress on herself, because even though she has been going through something stressful, she is the one who feels like she needs to live up to these expectations of the people she hangs around with, and mm-hmm. it's, yeah, she's bringing it on herself when Amy's just trying to be a good person.
She was totally being supportive, and she wasn't doing any of her Amy agenda stuff either in this part. She was just being a good friend and saying, apologizing for the drama and everything. Krista doesn't even want to hear about it, which is so stupid and whatever, and create your own drama then, yeah. Krista. I feel bad for her.
I know, me too. It's a shame.
And then when she goes back to work, then she sees Omar in the parking yeah. lot, and he was fired, and she feels horrible. And I love that she feels horrible, because that means that she really doesn't want to do harm to anyone on her path to taking down the company. She really does only have good intentions.
Yes.
And it goes back to what she said, that she does have good intentions, and she's certain about it. And then she's put in a situation where she could internally be happy that she got off the hook, but no, she really does feel bad, and she really doesn't want to hurt anybody.
Right.
And we learn a lot about her morality in this ending section, and adds a lot of likability to her, I think.
Yeah, I was wondering if I could read the last thing she says, because her last line, well, I'll just read it now, actually. She's like, what is good? Who is on the side of good? Everyone can be wicked and feel pain. Who am I fighting for? They say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And then it shows her seeing Omar's empty desk. Mm-hmm. And I love that so much, because, like you've been saying the entire time, that not only is the episode so tight because of that, but I think it's something that we often overlook. Like, we have good intentions, but are good intentions doing something good? Like, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and are you doing them just for yourself as
exactly,
well?
Because, like, I know, especially, like, when I was younger, like, I would do stuff that to me seemed like, oh, I'm doing the right thing, but then looking back, I'm like, well, actually, I was just seeking attention, you know? So, mm-hmm. I don't, and again, like I said, I think she's a bit narcissistic, but I don't think that's why she's doing it. So... Mm-hmm.
I know, because you hear a lot about Amy being a selfish, self-centered character and all that, but I just think that's a byproduct of her naive spirit and, like, desire to do good. I don't think she's not trying to do good because she's self-centered. It just comes across that she's self-centered when she's trying to do good. It's the other way, I think.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see her, if I'd want anything from her this season, would be to see her learn from and take away from other people. Like, and not just completely go inside herself to find, to do good things.
Yes. Picking up things from the people, very true.
Yeah.
But I do love that this one touches on something that she has on her, it's her inner spirit already. Mm-hmm. It kind of shows that she's not a bad person that everyone apparently, probably most of the audience, has been thinking that she's been this whole time. This really shows her true character, because here we learn that Tyler put the hard drive in Omar's computer. That's what he did, and Amy actually feels really bad about it, and Tyler reacted like any average person would probably do, and he was happy and proud, but Amy felt remorse and guilt.
Yes.
And that just shows a huge contrast in character development of how they both handle power and consequences.
Yeah, I think so often, like, we believe that revenge, like, is the right way to go. Not that Tyler was seeking revenge, but, well, I guess he sort of was. He didn't accidentally.
He found, oh, I have power to do something.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, Amy will be so proud of me for doing
exactly.
this. But her intentions really are good.
Right.
You could see that. He has, like, all these, the average person, what the average person would be like. And it kind of made Tyler an ugly person.
Exactly.
And Amy a good person, which is the total opposite of what you've been told this entire show so far.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because looking at what he did, it's like, is this... I know what I want, but is this the way I want to achieve what I want?
Right. It just like how you said that final monologue, it covers exactly... It perfectly encompasses everything we've been saying, because it shows you how two different people handle the degrees of power. And when she says, what is good, anyone can be wicked, she sees how Tyler handled the situation and how he dealt with it. And then she briefly questions herself about it and then quickly reassures herself, no, this is who I am, this is what I stand for. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to fall for that. I'm not going to do that. That just shows the flaw of Tyler and his humanity, that he would stoop to that. Mm-hmm. And she's just above it. I love it.
And that's another thing, like, painting these characters as they're not entirely good. Yes, they have good inside them, and we all have good inside of us, but we all do things that aren't so good all the time. And that's what I love about that last monologue, because she's aware, I think she's more self-aware at that point, that, you know, mm-hmm. the, I can't think of the word, I guess the heightened urgency of her situation, that she's very aware of the choices that she's making to get mm-hmm. to where she needs to be, and she knows that she's not perfect, but she wants to do something good despite the fact that she might not do it perfectly.
Right, I mean, we've been saying this whole time how she's like a child, but here she knows right and wrong. She knows her inner good, and she's not going to fall for that other stuff. To be spiteful.
I'd actually still say that's still like a child.
Somewhat, mm-hmm. but I mean, she's more aware of it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I think she's aware of it. Tyler's just like, oh, power, look what I did. And she's all, well, I'm not like that. I don't want to do it that way. And I think that's a huge growth episode because she was surrounded by learning experiences and she was involved. They were kind of tested in a way. Both were tested and one took one road, one took the other. And she was involved in so many situations that led her to doubt herself. Even at the beginning when Jeff brought up the seed about the dire consequences of his expose and how Tyler abused power with no remorse. And she was surrounded by these negative possibilities and tests, but she stood her ground. And in the end, because in the beginning she talked about good intentions and she talked about goodness, and at the end her monologue was like, no, I'm still good, I still know what I want to do, I didn't give in to those temptations, and I'm not going to let others cloud my judgment, and I'm going to do what I intend. And that's such a growth, huge growth for her, I think.
Yep.
In this,
yeah, definitely.
Oh,
yeah, this
I love
this
it.
Was a really good episode.
I didn't pick up any of that the first time. I mean, I caught the bits and pieces of it, but this one, by watching it through and really picking up these things, oh, it's genius. I love it even more.
Yeah, I totally agree. Watching it the first time, I picked up on some things, but, mm-hmm. like, you know, obviously I was watching it for recreational purposes, where this time I was like, oh my gosh, this... I mean, I even wrote down what did I write. I was like, oh, freaking... Oh, wait, I'm reading the wrong part. I said, episode is so freaking tight. Everything is planned out perfectly. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I mean, the whole thing is just tied up in a complete bow. Like, just the little bits at the beginning with the... And then it plants the seed of doubt in your brain. Mm-hmm. And you forget about it by the end.
Right.
And you forget about it because right after there's that intense scene of... her dream sequence of doing exactly what she wants. So you get that doubt automatically. It's just planted there for a second and then taken away and distracted. And then Tyler, for the first time, not being perfect, the voice of reason, like we've been being taught. And then she rises above it and sticks to herself. And I picked up on some of this the first way through, but every little thing, you're right, it's so tight, it's so perfect. There's so much in it.
Yeah, seriously. That was pretty quick for such a good episode, but, you know, I think we covered everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so... makes me feel.
It so does.
It's so smart, though. It's so smart, the way that they... It's not just scene after scene, even the way where her mom's scene was placed with her... Amy coming home from with Krista, and the way that the order of the scenes is perfect, because it distracts you one way, makes you look at something differently, and her mom comes from a total different way, and then Amy's like, that's not my world, mm-hmm. and and then the way it was, everything is just placed together in perfect order.
Yes. the emotional roller coaster of this episode. I mean, I don't know if we really think about the fact that, like, our emotions in real life are actually really fleeting. So, like, the way the episode goes is 1 minute you're doubting, or I should say 1 second you're doubting, the next second you're totally on board with her, and then Tyler does something, and then Krista's in the hospital, and then Tyler does something else, and you're going all over the place, and that's essentially just, it's capturing humanity in a way that not many shows can do, I think. Like, if you think about the fact that, like, on a day-to-day basis, how much your emotional state changes, I feel like that's this show. Like,
mm-hmm.
Completely. Yeah, because I remember, at my old job, I was constantly, like, in my own head because I was doing data entry, and I would think about things, and then I'd think about one thing, and I'd get upset, and then the next minute, a song would come on my iPod that I really liked, and I'd get happy, and I thought to myself, my God, like, I am just, like, insane. Like, I'm really, really sad one moment, and then all of a sudden I'm really, really happy, and, like, but that's what happens, like, in your head, like, in your day-to-day life when you're thinking about things, and so.
Yeah, yeah. I do the same. I mean, I'm 12 hours just in a lab by myself most of the time, so my mind's going all over the place. Yeah, definitely. It's so realistic, and it captures something, and it's not just does that, it's so good at doing that. And it's so good at trying to convey what it's conveying. Because you watch a lot of other shows and there's like maybe some dead spots or some things that didn't resonate or just some things that are there just for time eaters. But every single second is meaningful in this show and it all comes together with something else and it connects and it's plot driven and character driven and there's no dead spots. Every single line, every single everything second is meaningful and it all comes together in some way.
Exactly. And I don't think people realize, like you said, this is definitely, I mean, it's plot driven, but it seems definitely character driven in terms of what goes on and how the plot moves forward. I don't know if people realize how hard it is to write a character driven story in any form. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you don't watch this show, but Game of Thrones, the books are completely character driven, and I just think about that and my mind can't even grasp the concept of it, like, practically. Like, how can you write anything without being a little bit plot driven, but yet somehow this author does it, and of course they do it in Enlightened.
I know. I mean, it is full on humanity and your flaws and based on every human emotion. It's like almost every episode focuses on some kind of human feeling or circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so strong.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I don't know how they do that, how they make it come together. And there's, it's like this warm bubble of like warmth because it's all complete. There's no little spots of, oh, that was weird. Or, oh, even if it is, oh, that's weird. In the next episode, it makes sense.
Right.
Or, like, in the finale, it comes together. It's just so, so smart.
Definitely.
And that's hard. I couldn't even imagine writing that. You'd have to have a million post-it notes of somehow trying to make it come together. I don't even know how you do it without any dead spots.
That's what I mean. Like, I
don't know.
I mean, just coming from, like, a writer's perspective, since I'm trying to write a book myself, and I'm desperately trying to be character-driven, like this show, and I constantly, like, I'm thinking, would my character do this? Like, and am I being too plot driven at this point? Like, and this show just is like, oh yeah, easy.
I know. I mean, it seems like it would be exhausting to be that invested in every character and write them as they're alive.
Yeah, which is
without any derivation. And they're not only writing these characters true to themselves, they are having little subplots around them and having it all come together,
which is like life
perfectly. I know, it's so hard.
Yeah, it's so hard. But if you think, here's the thing though, we're so used to, I don't know if I'm speaking just for myself or if I'm speaking for you as well, but when we see movies or TV shows or read a book, we are looking at life as a story, and it's not a bad thing, but you know, we tend to think as we see in the movies, and so the movies often portray characters as these two-dimensional people, and they'll even, like, try to make them three-dimensional, but you still, like, it's not really depicting humanity. It's very rare that you find something that will really, truly depict how people's minds work. And the show does that.
How their minds work. That's right. It goes into, like, the human psyche that spits out on screen flawlessly.
Yes.
Yeah, you know how I would explain it? It's not, it doesn't take any shortcuts in life. Because when you watch a movie, you see only the action parts of that person's life. Or you see only the parts where they're supposed to look flawed or supposed to look heroic.
Yeah.
In this one, it shows every second. The second when you're not doing anything. The second when you're driving. The second when you're thinking about something else. Your emotions change. The second you're with this person. It's every second of your life.
Yes.
It's not just highlighting what they want you to see or the most interesting parts.
Right.
It's literally highlighting, I mean, it's going through every second of your day and your life and your thoughts and your humanity.
Yeah, that, yeah, you just said it perfectly, because I did, when I was younger and I'd read books, I would think to myself, you know, this is great, like, I really love the story with the action plots, but what happens when these characters are off screen? Like, what do they do, you know?
I always think that too, because when I'm at work or in my daily life, I mean, I'm thinking, you never see characters doing this.
Yeah.
Like, what do I do in this time, or this 5-minute time, or this spare time? Or I'm just thinking, well, I don't know. What do I? Because it's just strange. Because when you watch TV or whatever, you see them in a specific highlighted moments where something exciting is happening.
Mm-hmm.
But in here, Amy's just like when she went to see Chris in the hospital, and Janice is all, no, I'm her best friend, blah blah blah, and Amy's all, well, I'm the one who introduced you. Like, that's normal.
Right.
That's reality. That's an part of a person that they don't put on any other show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And it's truth. It's so much truth. I know Laura, she searches for things that are truthful. Like, truth is her big word.
Right.
And her big character thing.
Good.
Anything that's truthful, she's all over. And so this is, no wonder she's on this show, because this is so, it's truth. It's truth to the most extreme.
Yeah, exactly.
And honesty.
Yeah, and it's not even like that scene is showing her at fault or in a good light. It's just showing her, like, almost embarrassing her in front of the audience. You never see that, like, and I really, really like it.
Because this is what would happen in every, it's not make, that's right, most things are on TV to make the audience feel excited, happy, sad for the characters and all this, but you don't really feel embarrassed for very many characters.
Right, yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. And that's a normal emotion.
Mm-hmm. And if,
a normal human thing.
Yeah, and that's even, I think embarrassment is more powerful. Like, if you, I can only relate this to, like, maybe award show and stuff, like, if you, like, okay, for example, at the Super Bowl 1 year, Christina Aguilera messed up the lyrics to the national anthem, and there's just something you feel inside of you, that this embarrassment you feel for a person that, like, in reality, but you really don't get that much in shows. I mean, not that I can think of.
You see, if they were going to put that, if that was a plot point on some TV show, someone big singing and they're messing up the lyrics, they'd revisit that, or that would be the main plot, or that would occur so something else in the plot could occur.
Yeah.
In here, it would just be something that happens, and that's
it. Exactly.
Just like real life.
Exactly.
It wouldn't affect something else.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I love, like, because sometimes that's just what happens in life. Like, and unfortunately, like, the way I'd say the modern audience views it is that, why would they put something in a story that's not going to matter overall?
Mm-hmm.
And my thing, like, okay, I'm going to use another example. With something like, I love the Harry Potter books, and there's stuff that they leave out in the movies that are in the books that are really tiny things that don't really matter to the plot, but really matter to the character in question. And,
yes,
you know, that's okay, you know, they're not in the movies, but I think that people are going to miss out on that one small bit of character development that you're not going to get unless you read the books. And the same way with this show, like, they don't try to take away the character. They put those small things out there.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love.
That's what I could see, like, Mike White going down, ready to write this whole thing. And he's like, it's gonna be as realistic. And it's like if Amy was it's Christina Aguilera in this and she wanted to go sing the anthem and mess it up, then that's what she's gonna do, and that's it. We're just gonna leave it there and then go on
Yep.
because that's what I want. I want the audience to feel everything that you would in your life.
Exactly.
And that's what he did. He successfully did it perfectly. And I wish I could talk to him and ask him these
Wouldn't it be
questions
cool to
and
have him on the show?
talk. Oh, that's good luck. I don't even know how I would start that, but I mean, I want to pick his brain so bad and
Yeah.
just ask him these things and what his if we're even close, if all these podcast episodes are even close to what he wanted to do, or if we're just making it up for, I don't know. I would love for him to listen and then comment because I want to get in his head.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing that I want to say real quickly is that the best type of stories are the ones that really engage the audience. So, meaning, like, it doesn't set everything up for you very plainly. It makes you use your head and come to conclusions. And if there might not even be a conclusion in the story, it might just leave it open-ended, and you have to think, huh. I wonder what happened. Like, this show does that as, like, but in a good way. It doesn't, like, it leaves it open, but in a satisfying way.
You just know just by your experience of existing, you kind of know where they're gonna where they go and what happens.
Yes.
But I do think it has a lot to do with relatability because in these characters, there's so many human everything that you have to relate to or you see yourself as, or you're like, oh, well, I was in that situation, or oh, I felt this because of this once. And it's just, you have to warm up to it right away because you see it's a mirror, actually, I think,
Yeah.
of life, and you see it and you feel comfortable with it because it looks familiar to you because you've
Yes.
lived that before.
That's such a good point. And that's another brilliant thing about this show. Like, you might not be 100% Amy, but there's going to be a part of you that is Amy. I feel like no matter who
Yes.
you are.
Or somebody in this show, you
Yeah,
have to
yeah.
relate to somebody. You feel it's just like you feel an immediate familiarity and you comfort with these people because even if it's not exactly what you are, it's who you'd want to be. Like you'd want to be the person that just says certain things. Like when Amy just speaks her mind and there's no filter in your mind, you know you've been in that situation and it's refreshing to hear someone actually tell somebody off that you wanted to do when you were in that situation, but you didn't because that's just what you do in life. But here, Amy does it, and it's like so fulfilling
Yeah.
because it's like, yes, she's doing what, yes.
She's sticking up for the little guy.
Yes, you applaud because it's like, well, I couldn't do it when I was in that situation, but good for her,
Yeah.
good for her. But yeah, I think we're good.
Yes.
We got a lot.
Indeed, yeah.
We talked about the whole episode and then praised it for like 20 minutes.
Hey, that's
But it
okay.
deserves it. It deserves it.
Yeah, it totally does.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to us talk about season 2, episode 2. Hopefully we'll have season 2, episode 3 out within the month. Maybe month and a half, maybe hopefully a
Yeah.
month.
Hopefully,
Yeah.
yeah. I think we could do it. Yeah.
Yes. We'll do that. But thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. You could follow the podcast at EnlightenCast. You can send an email, enlightenpodcast@yahoo.com. You can follow me at Jennifer_Lynn89. You can follow Danielle at what?
I'm looking at my Twitter handle. I think it's, hold on.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
It's too long.
Okay, here it is. My Twitter handle is DK A Writing Story.
That's the one.
Yes.
All right, yes, you can follow us, you can follow the podcast, you can follow any of that. Yeah, so we'll see you next time then.
Farewell.
Bye.
Bye.